Now, let me turn the call over to David.
Thanks, Lee. Good afternoon to everyone on the line. It's great to visit with you. I know that many of you listening today either joined us for our initial call in October when we announced Monsanto's purchase of the Climate Corporation, or were able to join us for the Climate Pro announcement last fall. Back in October, I shared my excitement for the common vision that the Climate Corporation team shares with Monsanto. We're both very passionate about agricultural innovation and fundamentally believe that we can deliver new value to farmers and the people they serve. Both companies also share a common vision of supporting advancements that can increase productivity as well as the sustainability of agriculture around the world. It's been a very energizing few months as we've worked together to bring that vision to life. I'm pleased to report that we've already had a number of key advancements since our initial announcement. We've launched Climate Basic, which is a free mobile service that provides weather, soil, and crop data at a field level, and is an extension of a lot of the work that we've done in the past, as well as online tracking and scouting tools that help farmers make more informed decisions about their farming operations. And next month, we've announced a subscription service called Climate Pro. The Climate Pro service offers a number of advisors that help increase farmer profitability through customized field recommendations that help maximize yield while minimizing costs. This new service will continue to allow farmers to optimize their response to field-level events and plan their season with greater confidence. In addition to these product offerings, we've also remained committed to continuing to partner to deliver new benefits to our customers. Earlier this month, we announced that we've entered into a memo of understanding with Winfield, Monsanto's largest distribution partner and the largest U.S. agricultural retail distributor. We've agreed to work together to explore formal connections between Climate Corporation and FieldScript tools and services and Winfield's industry-leading R7 Precision Ag offering. This is a giant first step in partnership for our company. Finally, we've recently combined the FieldScript and Precision Planting teams along with the existing teams at the Climate Corporation. As a unified business, we're working to drive the natural connections between these services and deliver products at a software industry pace. Today, I want to announce another exciting development for the Climate Corporation. I'm here today to talk about the guiding principles and commitments that we outlined earlier, which we hope will support the technology revolution in agriculture that is enabled by data science. We believe this work can fundamentally change global agriculture, both its productivity and sustainability, and bring about a green data revolution. Technology is moving quickly and changing our world. As wireless smart sensors are increasingly utilized in many of our daily tools, wireless technologies become ubiquitous and cheap, and the cost of data storage and transmission drops precipitously, we are seeing an explosion of data that is enabling a better understanding of the world around us. This new paradigm dramatically expands the production potential of global agriculture. Just as many other industries, from healthcare to banking to retail, have found that leveraging data can deliver improved customer experiences and new value, a better understanding of production agriculture through the understanding of these ever-growing data sets can help drive smarter and better informed decisions, helping farmers sustainably increase yield and profit. Decisions like identifying the optimal timing for planting and harvest, the nutrients needed throughout the season to maximize yield without overinvesting, and applications that might be made to get ahead of pest and disease pressure. These can all result in increased or decreased yield on every acre. However, some barriers still exist to unlocking the tremendous potential of data science in agriculture, primarily due to uncertainty about how farmer data will be used, as well as the privacy and control of the data they generate on their land. We recognize that farmers are more likely to embrace new technologies that will drive the evolution of agricultural production when they have certainty about these important questions. And so today, the Climate Corporation announced several guiding principles and commitments around data use and privacy that are designed to remove those barriers. Our goal is to immediately and transparently address some farmers' concerns about data access and privacy while driving forward the conversation about industry standards that support farmers' needs. For our business, farmers are our first priority. And as an industry leader in the space, we need to do what we can to make sure the industry is adopting practices and standards that are best for the farmer. As you saw in the release just a short while ago, a more detailed statement is posted on climate.com/principles. The document is titled The Guiding Principles on Data and Privacy. I'll just take a few minutes to outline the key highlights of what we're announcing and then give all of you the opportunity to ask questions. Firstly, we state very clearly that farmers own the data they create or provide to us. The Climate Corporation will make it easy for farmers to control who can access the data they provide and for what purpose, and we will enable farmers to easily remove that data from our system. We will only use a farmer's data to deliver and improve the services for which they are subscribing. We will ensure safeguards are in place to protect farmer information from outside parties, and we will not sell customer-provided data to any third parties. Secondly, we will provide basic data services for farmers free of charge. We believe that farmers need to be able to easily create, store, and access their data in order to enable the valuable services that we intend to provide. The Climate Corporation will provide basic data services to farmers for free. This free service will enable farmers to choose advisory services, ultimately, that we and others intend to provide and that will utilize the data that a farmer has now made available online. And third, farmers need to easily access and share their information across technology platforms. The Climate Corporation will enable farmers to share their data across other platforms at no cost. This approach requires industry standards that enable both consistency in the collection of data and farmers' easy transfer of that data between different platforms. We plan to publish an open set of APIs, and we will cooperate openly with all interested parties in a dialogue about this effort. To further build on that principle, the Climate Corporation is forming an Open Agriculture Data Alliance, the OADA, an alliance of providers and farmers that will act as an independent body to ensure that different platforms share interoperability standards, common data formats, and security and privacy standards. Enabling different systems to work together will give farmers more control as new data services and products continue to be introduced in the coming years. This will give farmers the choice and the security that they're asking for. An independent third party will also regularly conduct security audits on our systems. We will openly publish the resulting audit reports. We intend to adhere to the guiding principles that we published today, and we will publicly share how we are doing via regular audit reports. As we shared in October, we're at a very important point in agriculture, and we're entering a new chapter of innovation ahead as data becomes ubiquitous and farmers begin embracing online services. The ability to better understand and interpret environmental and agricultural data will help farmers optimize yields through smarter seed genetics, planting rates, and a myriad of other crop production decisions. And we believe that by partnering in the right way with the right priorities for our customers, we continue to believe that the field of data science and the products and services developed from it hold tremendous potential to boost productivity, conserve resources, and help meet the world's growing demand for food, feed, and fiber. As we apply data science and agriculture to increase production and use resources more efficiently, we know we need to earn our customers' trust. Today, we're taking a significant step in building that trust. So with that, let me turn the call back over to Lee to start the Q&A portion of the conversation. Lee?
David, thank you. Kevin, we'd now like to open the line for questions.
Our first question today is coming from Jacob Budge from Dow Jones. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, good afternoon, guys. I had a question that might be just simple semantics here, but as there's references in your principles in the release to both Climate Corp and Monsanto, I was curious the extent to which the principles and the ideas here that you talk about, David, apply to, you know, all of the IFS offerings, i.e., field scripts, et cetera. Is this sort of like an umbrella thing that goes across all these, or are you talking strictly the Climate Corps?
Yeah, this actually extends across Monsanto as a company. The Climate Corporation is the provider today of the other IFS technology that you mentioned, since we've begun unifying the teams and the service offerings as of a few weeks ago. So Field Script, Precision Planting, and Climate Basic, Climate Pro, and our insurance offerings all fall under the Climate Corporation team's responsibility now. Just speaking more broadly to your question, the guiding principle statement is a commitment firmly across Monsanto. Obviously, data services are being provided through the efforts led by our team. This really is obviously most applicable to the services that we're providing, but all of Monsanto is adopting these guiding principles on data and privacy.
Our next question today is coming from Willie Boyd from Pinton Farm Progress. Please proceed with your question.
Will you be aggregating the data that you're collecting, and how will that be communicated? I know there's a paragraph in here about additional research with data, so there's a permission process, or how's that going to work?
Yeah, so the whole intent is that we want to be clear with the farmer about what we intend to do with the data, including any aggregation. So it forces us to get explicit consent from the farmer about any use of the data that we deem to be good for the farmer, or that we intend to use to develop a new feature or to continue to drive forward the service that we're providing. So let me give you an example. The free data services that we aim to provide, which help farmers access and store their data, we don't intend to ask them to let us use or even look at that data in any way. That's a very clear statement. So we're just going to be providing a free data service just for enablement. Services that we provide beyond that, like our advisory services from Climate Pro, for example, we may ask the farmer to use their data to enhance those services. Can we do research with this data specifically, for example, to build better yield models as it relates to nitrogen applications? And we're going to be very explicit about that ask. And if they say yes, you may, then we will then be able to use that data either in an aggregated way or in a very specific way. But we are not going to be asking any farmer for a blanket statement that says, can we aggregate your data and use it broadly in any way. We're trying to force ourselves to show the value to the farmer of letting us use their data for research purposes in very specific ways. And we are going to make sure that we get explicit consent for those purposes. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. One quick thing. So Climate, the basic product is essentially Dropbox.
No, Climate, actually,
I'm talking about the free data service, my mistake.
Oh, yes, the free data service will effectively look like a data store. That's right. And so what we're trying to do is we're trying to create a common data format and a common format for interoperability, and we're willing to make the investment to enable that across the industry. And look, it's going to be open source and it's going to be an open set of standards, so if other people want to provide the same service for free, we welcome it. It's an area that we have a high degree of expertise. We're obviously a software and a science company based here in San Francisco. We have a lot of folks that have worked at Google and built large-scale infrastructure services before. So we think that we're well-equipped to be a provider of this service, and we view it as enabling. If we can get more farmers to feel comfortable with sharing their data online and make it completely free and easy for them to do so, then us and other people that are going to be trying to provide services that can make use of that data for that farmer and turn that data into value are going to all be better served. So that's our general philosophy on why we're doing that. And to your point, yes, we are not going to be looking at or using the data in that basic data service in any way. Our intention is just to provide a data store.
Thank you. Our next question today is coming from Lynn Henderson from AgriMarketing Magazine. Please proceed with your question.
Yes, first I'd like to congratulate you all on forming this initiative. It has been on the minds and has been discussed at a number of farm groups here recently. This sounds like a really great solution. I have a question about this new organization called the Open Ag Data Alliance. Has that actually been formed, and is there a place we need more information about that group?
So we have been working informally with a number of other industry leaders. And we've been having a conversation around this concept for some time. Rather than announce any specific parties with whom we've agreed to do this with today, we decided to announce the formation of the alliance, and in the coming weeks, we're going to share more details about the specifics of the website, where you can get more information, the intentions, and who the leadership is. We're actually very open to and looking for independent third-party leadership on the Open Ag Data Alliance. We just wanted to get it going, make the announcement, and then we do have a number of other parties that are going to come to the table that we will be announcing over the next few weeks, who else is involved. So the specific, but I think we've tried to clearly lay out the intentions of the Open Ag Data Alliance, and specifics around the organization itself will come out over the coming weeks.
Our next question is a follow-up from Jacob Budge from Dow Jones. Please proceed with your question.
Thanks. You know, the backdrop to a lot of this seems to be, you know, getting people comfortable with the idea, and I get that a lot of this is oriented here towards helping people feel a little bit better about sharing the data and where it goes and how it's managed and all that. I'm curious, David, you know, since you obviously spent a lot of time and talked to a lot of people about this stuff, I mean, where do you feel like the kind of collective level of comfort is right now?
It's very analogous for me personally in my career, having worked at Google, to a number of the early initiatives for new products and services we saw at Google. I was at Google when Gmail was announced, for example, and there was a lot of hesitation and concern. Gmail was, if you'll remember back then, it was very new, in that it gave you quite a lot of data and provided a number of data storage and provided a number of services that that really weren't available by other email systems at the time. And there was a lot of initial hesitation. Over time, as people used it and saw the value in the service, they got more comfortable with the service. And I think we've seen the same thing with GPS chips and cell phones and people using Facebook. You know, when these new technologies first emerge and these new capabilities first emerge, you always think in your mind through the spectrum of possibilities. And on that spectrum, there are concerns that emerge and hesitations that emerge as a result. This data could be used in this way or this way or this way. I feel like we've seen this story before, and so we're just trying to be proactive and get in front of it and make it really clear that our intention here isn't to disadvantage farmers in any way. Really, the intention is to advantage them and to deliver new value. And we're going to lay down a bunch of guiding principles that hopefully put to rest a lot of those concerns on that end of the spectrum that says, well, what if, what if, what if? And we're saying, guys, that's not how we're going to operate. We're just trying to be really clear and open about this. We think that we don't need to operate like that to build a great business. We think we can build a great business by focusing on doing what's right for the farmer and adding value for the farmer. And so that's what we're going to do. So we've had conversations. Everyone's got the what if questions. And we're hopeful that we can put all those what-if questions to rest with these announcements today and hopefully the follow-on dialogue that we and other teams at Monsanto will have with farmers over the coming months.
Thank you. Our next question is coming from Joel Gullickson from Successful Farming. Please proceed with your question.
This is Gil Gullickson with Successful Farming. David, how are you? I think I kind of gather from talking with farmers that they the potential in this, but yet they're very skeptical on giving up data for any purpose. How are you going to sell this program to them? How are you going to show them that can benefit them?
Well, we have a service today called Climate Pro, and we have a service today called Climate Basic. Climate Basic is free. Farmer doesn't need to submit very much data to us for it to be useful. The more information they give us, and the more information they give us with Climate Pro, the more value they get back. So if they tell us about nitrogen applications, we can make recommendations about dates and amounts of nitrogen applications. If they tell us, for example, what hybrid they plan to plant, or they could even start by just telling us the relative maturity of the seed, we can help make an optimal planting date recommendation to them. And then if they add on some genetic information, what's the hybrid, for example, we can give them an even more accurate recommendation on planting date. So I don't think that it's very black or white. I think we need to earn the trust of farmers over time. And I think that they will see the value as they begin using the service and iteratively give us or share more information with our service. They'll start to see more value coming back. Ultimately, we believe strongly that the amount of value that farmers can derive from our advisory services, which will be built around Climate Pro and the technology from Field Scripts and from Precision Planting, that value will be several multiples of any potential price for those services. And so I think farmers are obviously economic, and they will start to see the value of these services, and they will start to embrace them. As with any new technology, there's an adoption curve. There are folks that embrace these technologies early on, and then as folks see them being comfortable, they start to try it. And then as they start to try it, they start to use it more and more frequently, and it becomes an integral part of their daily lives over time. And I think we're at the early stages of that cycle, but it offers a great deal of promise, and we need to make sure that we earn trust as we develop these services and get them in the market. And I think farmers will see the value and will begin to trust us as we act in the way that we're defining how we're going to act today.
And this is Greg Smirnoff. Just to add to that, we have found already that the proof is in actually experiencing the services. And as David said, with the free Climate Basic service, any farmer can sign up, get their fields in the system, and begin to see really specific field workability, weather conditions. And after being appropriately skeptical, they begin to see how it benefits them during planting and other field operations. And we get a lot of feedback about how it starts to give them a sense how they can use it. With Climate Pro, we have a focus on increasing average profitability by over $100 an acre through the use of the different advisors through the course of the season. And as we go through and explain to growers how it works and as they begin to see it, whether it's on planting advisor, nitrogen advisor, variable rate advisor, et cetera, those very concrete points give them a sense of what they're going to be able to get from it.
Kevin, go ahead. I was going to say let's take the next question.
Thanks. One more from me here, guys. There's been some talk. I think the Farm Bureau has put this idea out there to create what, you know, could ostensibly be called a like third-party data clearinghouse, you know, kind of a, as we use the previous example, like a Dropbox that's run out there unaffiliated with any particular company or service provider. My question would be, you know, if that sort of idea takes root and manifests itself, would that, you know, be acceptable? I mean, would you look for a way to interact with something like that, or does that sort of run up against or create some issue with, you know, the getting the data into the various products that you're selling?
Well, I think if there's a service that's free and has open standards and is immediate and has scalable storage and availability, that's great. It meets the objectives. I'm not sure how easy it's going to be to have a third-party, independent third-party clearinghouse that's going to build this from scratch, that's going to be able to get there. I think that the that there's a strong alignment between obviously the longer-term commercial intent and the value that farmers are seeking, and this sort of important service. I think folks are need to be cognizant of the fact that these things actually do align. For us to be successful in providing advisory services, there needs to be availability of data, and there needs to be easy access to that data and control over that data that the farmer has. And I think that that requires, as we've talked about here today, an open architecture approach, a set of open standards and open openly described data formats. Because without that, it's going to be very difficult to achieve our primary objective, which is to make advisory services that work really well for the farmer. So, yes, sure, theoretically, if there was a clearinghouse that had a Dropbox-like capabilities and standard formats and open APIs and the data was infinitely scalable and it was really fast and had the best turnaround time of any commercial platform, that sounds ideal. I don't know how the alignment is going to be created to enable that sort of a service by some independent party that's building this via contract work or as a contractor. So as a technology leader, from a technology perspective, I would just say that's a great idea, but we need to make sure that that it's developed in the right way.
Jacob, this is Lee. I would just say to your question specifically too, and to even the comments that Dave made on the line around the OADA, I think that, you know, the complexities and the you know, the natural questions that come in this space around data security and usage and all those things, I think that really speaks to the important role and the value of continuous dialogue, both across the industry as well as with farmers and the farm organizations working together as we continue to look at how do we, you know, really truly deliver a lot of benefits out of this, the field of data science, because we believe it holds a whole lot of potential across these products and services.
I should also state, just as an add-on, you know, there have been, in other industries, sorry, someone's got an echo. Is that you, Lee? In other industries, there have been obviously similar sorts of opportunities that have been resolved over time, where there were conversations around independent, third-party data storage systems, et cetera. And what ultimately worked for the industry in almost all these cases was to just develop a set of common standards around data, privacy and security, and interoperability. And then there ended up being multiple places where data was housed that everyone felt safe and secure, and that worked across systems. And we saw that specifically in financial services, and we've seen it in healthcare, and we've seen it in other industries. And, you know, that could be the right solution for agriculture as well, and that's really what we're trying to promote here today.
Kevin, I was just going to say we probably have time for a couple more questions if other folks have questions on the line.
Our next question is coming from Gil Gullickson from Successful Farming. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, this is Gil again. David, you mentioned a third party that I think is going to ride herd over this. What is that entity?
Sorry, the third party that's going to what?
Audit.
Yes.
Oh, that's going to audit. Yeah, so we're talking to three different firms, and we don't have an announcement on it today, but it will be a well-known, reputable firm that will be able to do both the security audit as well as systems and controls audit.
And David, I think Gil was also asking just about the third-party group with, as we think about the OADA.
Sorry, with respect to auditing and the OADA?
No, sorry. He just said, Gil, why don't you repeat your question?
The auditing is part of it. But on the OADA, is there any third-party source, too, that's going to ride herd over that? Or who's going to monitor that?
Well, that's going to be an industry alliance. So like other industry alliances, it's going to be a representative group of participants in the industry that could find use from this sort of an open dialogue and standard setting. So the OADA will not necessarily be building systems or storing information. It's a standard setting body that should communicate and then publicly share the dialogue results. That's really the intention. So I don't anticipate the OADA being an alliance that is actually going to build anything or store anything or provide any sort of service like that.
There are no further questions at this time. I'd like to turn the floor back over to management for any further closing comment.
Okay, Dave, I would just want to thank David again for taking the time to do this call with everybody. I'd also like to thank all the reporters that were able to join us on a Friday. We will have a copy of the recording of this conference call, and we'll make that available on our website. And again, if there's other further questions or anything, please feel free to reach out to Christy or myself, and we'll be sure to get you connected with the right people. We hope you guys all have a great rest of the week and a great weekend ahead, and thank you very much.